I went off to the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill as an 18-year-old young man, confident that I was going to heaven because I was Jewish and that that was pretty much the end of the story. But I went off to the University of North Carolina excited about being out from under my parents' roof, excited about having those constraints removed, and excited now about being able to do everything I'd always fantasized about doing. But, you know, when you're living at home, you can't pull it off, you know. So I joined a social fraternity when I got to Chapel Hill. And if you saw the movie Animal House, my fraternity made Animal House look like, you know, a Christian day school. I mean, you just cannot imagine what went on. And I began getting deeply involved in drinking and partying and women and gambling. We would gamble all night. We'd start playing cards around 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. We'd play all night long. Then we'd, you know, about 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning, go to bed. Wake up and, you know, eat some lunch, and about 3-4 o'clock, start again. And this was life in the fraternity house. You say, well, what about classes? What classes? We weren't there for classes. We were there for fun. And all you had to do was take enough classes to stay out of the Vietnam War in those days, and everything was fine, and get a 2.0, and everything was copacetic. Well, I did a couple of years of that. But by the beginning of my junior year, all of that was starting to get old. I don't know if any of you guys have been down that road, but you know, a lot of things that start off like that, being exciting and very titillating, they wear out. And after a while, it's like getting drunk one more time, having one more woman. I mean, it's, you know, you just, it's just not all that exciting anymore. It's kind of been there, done that, got the t-shirt type of thing. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, no. So by the time I was beginning my junior year and all that started getting stale, I had begun, you know, to think a little more seriously about the issues of life. You know, where was I going and what was my life all about and what am I doing here? And you know, those questions were beginning to plague me and I didn't have any answers for them. And so I ended up that summer up in the Borscht Belt, up in the Catskill Mountains. A couple friends of mine and I, we had hitchhiked up there, and we were looking for a job. And we finally found a job working in one of the restaurants, one of the resort hotels up there, working in the restaurant and serving people. And we made a lot of money that summer. But this was the summer of 1969. And although when I went up there, I'd never heard the word Woodstock and had no idea what the word Woodstock represented, the Woodstock Music Festival was happening not too very far from where we were working. And some friends of mine that I made up there who were from New York said, hey, we need to go to Woodstock. And I'm like, that's cool. What is it? And they explained to me it's this big music festival. And I was like, that's wonderful. So we all bought tickets. I may be one of the very few people in the world who actually bought a ticket to Woodstock. They did sell them, honestly. They expected 50,000 people, that was it, and they sold tickets. I wish I had kept it. I mean, it would be worth a lot today. I didn't. But I actually bought a ticket, and then 500,000 people showed up without tickets, and tickets, you know, just didn't matter. But I went to Woodstock, spent the entire weekend there, and as a part of this whole New York experience, began to get very deeply involved in drugs. I had dabbled with drugs in Chapel Hill before I had gone up to New York, but when I got up to New York, it was the first time I ever dropped LSD. I had some friends who said, you know, if you're looking for answers to questions about the universe, you need to take this stuff. This stuff will enlighten you. This stuff will expand your mind. This stuff will help put you in touch with real expanded consciousness. And I was like, that sounds cool. Let's do it. And so the first time I ever took LSD was up in New York that summer. And I, as I began taking LSD, we had done a lot of grass and we had smoked a lot of hash, but this was the first time I ever did psychedelics. I came back to North Carolina, to Chapel Hill, to start the next year of school, convinced that I had gotten into the pathway to expand my mind, into the pathway that would help me find answers to the universe, and I came back as a very strong advocate of drugs. As a matter of fact, about 50 or 60% of the people in my fraternity who have ended up using drugs, I was the one who initially talked them into it, initially encouraged them to do it, and the one who initially provided the drugs for them to get involved. I was an advocate of this. And we began doing drugs all the time. I mean, we would smoke dope many times a day. I grew hair out to my shoulders, a big old afro. See, my hair doesn't grow down, it grows out. And so I had this huge afro almost out to my shoulders, and I wore, you know, bell bottoms and tank top and motorcycle boots and love beads and really looked the part. And the nice thing about hair like that is I could hide joints behind my ears and pull my hair over them. And no, the police would never think to look behind my ears, I figure. And so a normal day in Chapel Hill would start off with 6 or 8 joints, 4 behind each ear. And as the day went on, we would smoke them. That was a normal day in Chapel Hill. We dropped LSD 3, 4, 5 times a week, sometimes more. You say, well, Lon, if you're taking LSD 3, 4, 5 times a week and smoking dope every day, how in the world did you ever maintain any presence in class? The answer is we didn't. We was much more fun to sit up in a tree and smoke dope than it was to go to class. And so we just didn't go. As a matter of fact, I brought a copy of my yearbook, of the yearbook from Chapel Hill that year, 1969, 1970, because there's a picture right in the front, a full page picture of me and several fraternity brothers sitting up in a tree smoking dope. And I'll never forget the day it happened. I remember very well the day it happened. We were sitting in this tree right in the middle of campus smoking dope. As I recall, my math class was happening at that moment, or some class anyway. And I remember hearing that down below us, about 10 feet down, this click, 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 and we look down, and here's this guy down there looking up, snapping pictures of us. And you say, well, didn't it worry you? Didn't it occur to you that it might be somebody with the police? Well, yeah, that occurred to us, but frankly, it was just too much trouble to get down. And so we were just like, hey, what are you doing down there, man? And he said, well, I'm taking pictures for the yearbook. And we were like, oh, okay, that's cool. Go ahead. And then when the yearbook came out, here we are on the front, and right on the inside front cover of the yearbook, this huge picture of us sitting up in this tree blowing dope. I brought it for you to see. It's up here in the front. You can come up afterwards and see it. But that was life in Chapel Hill. And I'm not telling you this because I'm proud of those days and proud of my lifestyle. I'm telling you this because I want you to get a sense of who I was at age 21 when Jesus Christ reached down and grabbed a hold of my life. I was not some nice, run-of-the-mill, everyday person who just, you know, went about my business and suddenly I decided I wanted to get religious. That's not what happened here. I was living a lifestyle that was about as separated from Jesus Christ and Christianity as you could possibly imagine. I may be the only person in the history of the University of North Carolina to have flunked honors chemistry. I got into honors chemistry because my chemistry grades the first 2 years weren't too bad, but then I never went to class. I took it my senior year, never went to class, never showed up except for the first day. At the end of the semester, the guy gave me an F. I thought, how dare he give me an F? So I went to see him and I pleaded for a D. And he said, are you kidding? You were never here. And he flunked me. I had to stay and go to summer school because I flunked honors chemistry. I doubt if there's another student in the history of Chapel Hill that ever flunked honors chemistry. All you do is show up and you get an A. I got an F. I also became well known in the city of Chapel Hill as a dope pusher. We would get dope from New York City. We would travel up there, buy large shipments of dope, bring it back to Chapel Hill, cut it, and sell it. We had a friend who went to Amsterdam several times a year and would bring hash back sewn into the inside lining of his overcoat, large amounts of it from Amsterdam. And these were the days before the dogs and all of the modern equipment that they have now to stop these folks. And he generally had no problem whatsoever getting huge amounts of dope in from Europe. Then we would sell it, and I would put myself through my last 2 years of school selling dope. That's how I made my money. I wouldn't want to go out and get a regular job. You can make a lot more money, and it was a whole lot easier work just selling dope to people, and that's what we did. You say, well, how in the world did you stay out of the grasp of the law? I mean, how is it that you didn't get, you know, yourself arrested? Well, the truth is, I almost did. In the spring of 1971, just before I became a Christian, a matter of a couple of weeks before I made a decision for Christ, there was a knock one morning at the door at the house where I was staying, and it was the police. And there was a guy sleeping out in the living room, and the police said, we have a warrant, this is a totally true story, for the arrest of Lon Solomon on dope charges. Is he here? Well, I was there. I was back in my bedroom. And my friend at the front door had enough presence of mind to say, could I please see the search warrant? They had a search warrant for the house. And the search warrant had the wrong address. It had the address of the house next door on it. And he picked this up and he said, you can't come in here. This search warrant is not for this house. It's the house next door. You got the wrong address on here. And he wouldn't let them in. If they'd have come in, there was dope all over the house. I'd have been in jail. And they actually went next door, went into that house. The people living next door were friends of ours, fraternity brothers of ours. We had sold them the dope that was in their house. They found the dope, went to class, arrested my fraternity brother right out of his class, put handcuffs on him and took him to jail. He got arrested, but it wasn't him they were looking for. It was me. So that's how close it was. I like to, back in those days, I like to say to my friends, don't get near me. I'm so hot the air crinkles when I walk around, because we were well known. I mean, the police knew who we were. But I'm getting a little ahead of myself here. All the time I was doing dope like this, I want to tell you, I actually thought that I was making spiritual progress. And I actually thought that spiritually I was moving towards a place where I was going to get all these answers to the universe that I cared about. And again, I'm telling you all that because I want you to understand where I was in 1970 when Jesus Christ began to make an impact on my life.